He says, I don't know how to tell you this. They just don't like you anymore, and I've been instructed to that you're no longer creditworthy. I said, what do you mean creditworthy? I mean, last week you gave me $1 million from a signature.
We have some deep black, you know, people in deep black telling us information, okay? And we have to evaluate that information.
Sure.
So we
discern
use
it. Yeah.
We use our intuition, you know, our psychic ability.
Inside you're
we
gonna know.
Triangulate with other information. So we're and then, you know, and basically we kind of go ahead in that way. But some of the stuff they give us is totally contradictory. And we like we'll have two people, and one of our people is called Henry Deacon. It's a fake name.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at Livermore. He worked at a lot of places, right? You can read about him on our website. But he's convinced, just as you are, that one, there's something like Planet X headed this way.
Sure.
Two, that, you know, that the economy and everything's going under very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
The population question, he was educated, you know, or re-educated, if you will, that, you know, all about the population control issue and how they have a plan to get rid of the population.
I put it up on my website.
Right. So, I mean, he follows all that. And yet we've got other people like, you know, David Wilcock, who is talking about, you know, ascension, who's talking about, you know, a whole different, you know, a positive future for the Earth.
But see, there's a different agenda on the ETs. Remember, there's a group of extraterrestrials that are hoping we're going to destroy ourselves.
Right.
All right, if they're hoping we're going to destroy ourselves, and they want that, then we're going to give all these, quote, new agers that you're going to ascend. Well, you can call death ascension or do anything you want to, right?
Okay.
You can do it at that point. But the group is, if you just sit back and say, wait for somebody to come back and save us, now you put back ourselves into the victim consciousness again.
Right.
And that's not the way the universe works. The whole key to this whole thing is personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Totally. And if I'm looking for somebody out here to come save us, I don't care what you call them or some, save us from what and who's going to be there. I mean, even if Christ would come back at this time, we'd crucify him in half the time. And it's like some, like the ETs I'm involved in, they say, now remember, the universe is logical. You guys really know how to destroy a planet. Do you think we're going to take you to another planet? You do it in half the time.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't come into that, quote, balance part of the spiritual to understand who and what we are in relationship to the universe, which is a connection to the creation as it's finding out what it's up. Could be like in India, you know, they say, the creation says, I'm tired of this, and goes over and goes to sleep, and we'll all cease. And
okay,
I also asked the next question. We got the creation is above all things. Even Billy Meyer says that. What's above the creation? And you know what my friend said from the other side? Well, there's still mysteries for us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We can't get the ultimate game because we're all part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But... okay, but we're looking for like a message of hope, let's say, from you. What can you tell us? What is your? I mean, because I'm reading your book. I've read, you know, Handbook for a New Paradigm. I read that years ago.
Did you read the other two?
I'm reading Becoming right now.
Oh, that's
and,
a great book.
And it's good stuff. But I'm thinking to myself, are you channeling this, or do you understand this?
Oh, I understand it.
Yeah.
I think it's fun when I'm getting the information.
Okay.
Because I sit down here, the information, you know, I'm sitting on the computer and it's, and then I said, now that should be, and this is my own question, that should be italicized. And I didn't touch the computer and it became italicized. Now
okay.
The question is, it's kind of like your picture, right? All of a sudden you got a silver thing on it, right?
Yes.
So who's doing it and what? And the information is not me speaking. When you look at that information, it's not me.
No, it doesn't sound like you.
Oh, it's not. And I know exactly what. In fact, it was the agreement. It's a joke. I said, you guys, I'll publish the book. I promised to do that. It was my word.
I said,
you got to tell me, you even have to do the workup on the back page. They did that too.
Okay.
I mean, we did it because, and I said, you got to have it less than so many pages. So they made sure it was less than 200 pages because people's attention span. All right. I gave them all the instructions. And you know, they come back and they said, well, you've been well trained, son. That's what they get. That's what they told me. You've been well trained.
So you're not just, it's not just coming through you and you're suddenly waking up and going, oh, what did I write?
No, it's none of that stuff. Okay. It's a little deeper than that. But not to focus on that. That's the next thing. Not to focus on the ETs, but the message.
Sure.
Because these are an antivirus device. And what they do is trigger people to awaken themselves so they can be in direct contact. Mm-hmm. The last messages, which I don't put out, it's called messages to the ground crew. And I'll leave those for you.
Okay.
And if people get all three of the books that we have, then I give them the fourth one, because then by the time they get you reading the books a couple of times, their whole life experiences will change. Because they seriously should be in contact themselves.
Sure,
whether
absolutely.
It's physical or non-physical. It's not my job. I'm not a traffic cop, so I can't tell people where they're supposed to be or what happened. All I'm supposed to do is act as that trigger to get you to start to think, because people are, they don't think anymore.
Right.
They don't reason.
Have you spent any time with the Native Americans?
Yeah, I have some friends that are in that area. I had a couple of them working for me. They were chiefs of the tribes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they're, you remember, they understand that Native Earth, as you know it, is a living being, and we should have been taking care of it. And they're very concerned. It's like, well, you know, in Australia,
absolutely.
The Aborigines down there said, hey, this isn't our game. And they've been given permission not to reincarnate on this planet. So they're not having children.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. Well, it's a...
I have a question about contact. That we have a lot of people writing to us about all kinds of things, including people who think that they're in touch, but they're not sure, and so on and so forth. A lot of stuff presumably happens in the dream state, and it's regarded as being disruptive to them for them to recall everything fully consciously, but yet they're still learning what to do and doing it and have a very strong sense of mission, but they don't have a conscious recall of contact.
Remember,
is that consistent with your experience?
Sure.
Between midnight and four, remember that's the downloading and unloading? It's a question of awakening it. You know what the Pleiadians said? Then this is some of the things that, of course, I ask the questions, the same thing. They say we should all reach a state of constant communion with Spirit. Constant, that's both night and day. I mean, we're programmed and everything else going on to the creation, but we're running out of the time on this planet. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the pollution that's going on the planet. Mm-hmm. And then all the information we're giving, like whether the environment's affecting us or you know, the so-called warming and everything that's happening. These are all periodic changes to the planet anyway. If the trouble is all the poisons we're getting in the water and everything else that we have. I mean, we're kill us off slowly.
Well, okay, but you're basically, you've been inside, you get information saying they've sent out, I mean, we're told there are bioweapons that have already been deployed around the planet to eliminate different groups.
Yeah.
Okay.
Genetically, yeah, they've done that. Fort Detrick, Maryland did a real study on
AIDS, for example, was you know, something of that nature.
Sure.
But in other words, where do you draw the line? How do you stop them? What's your positive kind of twist on thing? Other than, I mean, you got your books and you're working to awaken people. But are you also telling them that they can change their world?
They could change their world. Theirs, not the whole world. Uh-huh. If you focus on the planet, that a lot of these people will say, well, take care of the planet. It's going to take care of itself.
Sure.
We run out of worrying about the planet. I mean, it's okay. What we got to do now is how do we get ourselves, quote, in a place where there's going to be a remnant left? Well, with all the information that's available to us, it's obvious. Even the insiders, I brought a book over, Perkins' new book. Have you seen Perkins' new book?
No.
You know anything about him? The Economic Hitman. He was the number one sayer. See this big book? This is his latest book. I urge you to get
okay.
it. This book right here, and we have it available right now, but it's one of the best sellers on the New York Times. Now, he was an insider. They went and broke companies and countries and everything else the same way, only worked for the government. He's telling people the same thing I'm saying now in this book.
Really?
He say it's too late. You're not going to stop the game. Get yourself ready. But this is a book available at any bookstore.
Okay.
you know, or they can get a hold of it from us and we'll be glad to get them for them. But this thing is exactly telling you, this is the end of the American empire. Mm-hmm. And it's all planned.
Okay, so are you seeing civil war for America?
I see, well, you know, you've read the context of it. I see at this minute, and it could happen any 3-day weekend is what I'm telling people. A 3-day weekend when all the banks are closed, they're like the 3 days when you're familiar, Verizon couldn't communicate MasterCard or Visa for 3 days and shut basically banking things down. When people wake up, they have no lights, no electricity, and no internet for 3 days, and there won't be any food left in the stores. We know that after 3 days, people will steal for food. After a week, they'll kill for it. And that's also planned. So I'm looking at utmost chaos in the United States because everybody's so asleep.
Now, what about the rest of the countries of the world?
Well, there's obviously those other places that are going to be temporarily safer if you could get to them. It's like,
like Switzerland?
Well, Switzerland's in the middle of everything, and it's always been the banking thing. You know, I tell people if you want absolute safety, theoretically from the past, you'd put your money. I mean, that's where the Bank of International Settlements is, right? The 13 families that control all the world's money.
Right.
Is all traded to the BIS out of Switzerland. So they're going to try to keep track of whatever the game we have of trade of stuff. Now, I didn't bring it with me, but I have the World Cash Card. It's not a MasterCard or a Visa, but it looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
When Bush calls, and I expect it at any time, a national emergency, you're going to have to go to the post office and register under the executive orders. And at which time, the chip is one thing. They've been experimenting with the chips, and that's an experimental game. My CIA buddy said they're kind of laying it off. They want the little plastic card, which will be activated by your thumbprint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're experimenting with retinal scans and everything.
But this is going to be worldwide, not just...
Oh, it's a worldwide meltdown. You're going to have countries that will be kind of exempt out of it. You know, even China is running on the dollar, as you know, and they got $1,300,000,000 of them, right, or whatever their dollars that they're putting $200 billion in, and they're trying to find a place to not dump the dollar to put it to work, so they're buying all the commodities around the planet, right? So there's other places that have stuff for trade, and that's what you have to look at. The smart money. Because of what's planned. They're planning a nuclear war, as you know, in the Northern Hemisphere. And the nuclear war is in using neutron bombs. And neutron bombs, radiation goes away in a few days. It's not the dirty bombs. They could get away. But their figuring is that the winds come from the North Pole and go to the equator, and they don't go to the Southern Hemisphere.
Right.
So the Southern Hemisphere looks good. The politics of the Southern Hemisphere is kind of interesting at this minute. Because... it's not what's presented to you necessarily on the news because they control all that information. You actually have to go and do it while you can. Now, I just wired $5,000 out of this country, and they couldn't get access to the funds for 7 days on a wire transfer. I went over to Bank of America to get, and I'm suggesting people getting small bills, ones, five, tens, and twenties. All I could get was $2,000. I cleaned them out of all the little money. Everybody's using cards, the debit, or checks.
Well, we travel in Europe, and it's true. They don't want to take dollars at all anymore. I mean, they don't.
No, it's all euros.
No.
Why would they want to take them?
I mean, they don't even want them in Russia.
That's well, Russia's already gone on the euro and says no. Russia, you know, there was how much money was involved over there. There's more billionaires in Moscow than any other city
that's
in the world.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
Well, Putin said it. He says the same thing. He urged. This is in the newspaper. I got this 2 years ago. He told all the Russians, get your dollars out, put it into gold. United States is going to go into a massive depression and put it into gold and put it into other currencies. So the Russians have started to do that. Now, George Soros and Warren Buffett, you're familiar with those two people, right? Soros used to get my books. Anyway, Buffett and Soros moved to Europe, their large amounts of their funds, and they said the United States is going to go down. They figured 40%. They were right on. 40% in the dollar value during this period of time. Now, Soros reported today, forget it, it's all over, the dollar is going to collapse right away. I'm looking sometime this year. Because many countries are now saying, I don't want to take it for it. Well, when I was in Ecuador, just recently, I'm sitting here talking with some of the people involved in the government. I says, create your own, you have gold on it, create your own currency based on gold. So hopefully this week they have the first Equigold piece.
Mm-hmm. I want to catch a couple of questions here.
Okay.
Only two.
nuclear war in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right.
That sounds more than just taking out a few facilities in Iran. What are you referring to?
Well,
nuclear war in the
First of all, there's three nuclear submarines on the west coast from Russia. There's three on the east coast. These are their new ones. I have all the data somewhere. But they're 2 football fields in length, 5 stories tall, and they have nuclear. They're able to go 80 miles an hour underneath the water, totally undetected. We can't detect them. Their targets are all the major cities on the west coast. The ones on the east coast, obviously, Washington, D.C., New York, Atlanta, the ports to bring into, you know, the stuff, because they can bring us down. China says that they can shut down our total economic, our electrical system and our computer system within 2 days. So and China's sitting back. They're the wild card with them. Their government says it's 5,000 years, it's our turn to run the world. Mm-hmm. And their plans are, as you know, to let us have our fight with the Middle East. Now, the plan originally was to get the war started in Israel, as you know.
Right.
It's going to happen because that's all too many Christians out here looking to biblical prophecies and want to follow the line. Now, where is it going to come from? We know North Korea delivered nuclear warheads because it was in the paper. Remember, they had the boat we stopped that was supposed to go into Iraq. And you know the fiasco with Iraq, that was all because of April Gillespie, our ambassador, gave the same permission to go in to reclaim their...
Kuwait.
Yeah, because the Kuwaitians were slant drilling under the oil. So this is all part of their bigger game on this thing. But they got to get the war started in the Middle East. When will that start? Keep watching the news, because they keep telling you to hate China right now. Get it? We're going to have, even over the Olympics and all the other things, they're going to try to do things. Because China has the ability to wipe it out. Now, Bush had a meeting with Putin. Putin flew over to Kennebunkport and met with Bush. This is a few months ago. And Putin basically told Bush, you don't go after Iran because, you know, you took out the Rumah oil field. That was our field and we were running it. The Russians were running that anyway. Mm-hmm. He says, you're not going to do it in Iran.
Right.
You do that, you begin World War III. So he's backed off a little bit on that. So what they're trying to do now is to get Syria and the other, quote, enemy countries squared away. And there's going to be a missile going, whether it comes out of Israel, who has Netanyahu says, we control Washington anyway, or they're controlling all the game.
Right.
Let's go play the game and get it going. I watch. As soon as you see a missile hitting the Middle East, whether it hits Israel or Iran on it, you want to be out of the country.
Out of this country.
You bet. And what's the first law? The law of attraction, what you put out. Look what Clinton did. Clinton made the world hate us. You call your travel agent, ask them which country you can go to that hates us the least. Seriously.
No, absolutely. I hear you. But you're saying get out of this country, so that must be your plan.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, but
and you live in a pretty remote area of Idaho.
Well, yeah,
you're not one of those people who says the United States. There's some safe places here, like the Four Corners.
Oh, I do. I when I was asking where could I move in order to get the information, I speak English. So, what country in Latin America speaks English?
Brazil.
No, Brazil's Portuguese.
Well, but they're multilingual, more or less.
Well, Brazil's incredibly poor. They have the very few that's very rich. If you sit down at Ipanema...
You tell me who.
Well, German... at the end of World War II, a lot of Germans went down, you know, in Chile and Argentina. So that's relatively new. And so is Ecuador. If you go down there, it's pretty middle-class America, frankly. It is. It's not, I mean, they have a lot of indigenous groups and a lot of the Pleiadian things, you know, like the Plains of Nazca, which are down in Peru, a lot of that stuff all interconnected. Mm-hmm. So a lot of was originally where the ETs landed down there, and there are a lot of remains that are there. And I thought it would be kind of fun just to do that, just to get my head off of what's happening on a day-to-day basis, as you're talking about. But
What about Africa? I mean, they've given up on Africa. Right?
No, here's the problem with Africa. there is so much disease out there. They've given up on Africa, South Africa. I had friends in South Africa that wanted me to come down there. But the whole politics system, the whole game, you're going to let that go. China is already going to take all of Taiwan. They're going to take Australia. They're going to take all that stuff at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're already moving in on that. They're also moving in on Canada. You know, they bought the second largest oil company up there. They've been getting all the grains from Canada for a long time. They're their friends.
Well, now we're told that a war between the U.S. And China is, it's like theater. It's not, I mean, they know there's going to be a war. It's planned. And, you know, they're just going to go ahead with it. But that it's not, you know, it's not real. They're just, I mean, it's real enough for us on the ground.
China has 100 million single men right now. 100 million. Mm-hmm. We have, the United States has 300 million people. Half of them, 150 million, are over age 50. Over the hill group, if you want to call it. The so-called, you know, the group that cannot do anything. In the plan of reduction of the population in the United States, their plan is to reduce, if you're over age 44, you'll be one of the expendables, the useless eaters, or today, you're a human resource. That's the, you know, the vocal word, if you look at it. They're going to reduce the population down to the people that they can manage. If you're over age 44 and have a talent that they can use, like my son's a nuclear physicist, a senior engineer with Bechtel, they'll keep him around, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to keep me around. I'm useless. I have a lot of information.
But you mean that you would be targeted to be taken? Checked.
He'll keep him. But if you don't have that talent, you'll be taken right just a few blocks from here. I can take you by, well, no, it's a few miles from here. I just drove by yesterday. They're building up, you know, these dissident camps here. They're getting ready to get these things going.
Well, this camp idea, I mean, I have to admit that I find this, I mean, why bother? I mean, they're already running the world. Do you know what I'm saying?
But we really don't have enough food.
They've got sheep.
They
go to work every day. They, you know, they watch TV and they go to sleep. You put them in camps, they're going to rebel.
Well, the camps is the next state. They want to do it as a gradual. They can't just wipe us all out at once. The neutron bombs will do that. Now, remember, the nuclear will go to the equator and won't spill over to the southern hemisphere. That's the advantage to going south. I mean,
right.
why did Bush buy all this property in Paraguay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did the head of CNN buy all these thousands of acres down in Argentina? And I have my CIA friends are living in south of the equator.
I know. I've heard this.
Yeah, they've all moved down there, and they say, "You look." I have one of them that was the head of all that. He says, "You know, you nut." He says, "I'm not going to." He says, "I know what's coming down. We don't know the exact timing because they keep playing the game. It's like reading this book. This guy's sitting down, and he knows exactly what's going on. He's living here in the United States in a small town away from things. And you can't go create yourself into a community of say, hey, I'm going to be doing that. You have to live in community and look around. This is a good part of the country. We have a lot of Mormons up here. Mormons say food. Water is critical. We've got lots of water.
Okay, what about the sun? Are you like...
What do you mean? What about the sun?
Well, it's...
It's cold.
But there's going to be like a solar flares.
Solar flare, that's just energy coming out. Remember, the sun works on this. It's putting out frequency of light. When the light hits something, the atoms start to vibrate, which creates the heat.
Right.
It doesn't create it, it's the sun.
Okay, but what I'm talking about is that what they've been talking about coming to hit this, you know, to hit the Earth and so on, are these solar flares that are going to make life very uncomfortable.
Well, that's part of it. That's the reason why we start looking at the underground facilities or something close to that. The Pine Gap thing, you're familiar with that in Australia, right? There are 35,000 so-called elite that are going to be able to go down there when this thing all happens.
Well, we've also reported underground bases. I mean, there are underground bases everywhere.
Except for what they haven't done, all of those things are not going to be working. You know why?
Why?
Typical malarkey. No spare parts.
I don't understand.
If you put together a motor that's running underneath to create the air current and the bearing goes out, where are you going to get a bearing to fix the motor to clean the air?
I don't know.
There's no spare parts. So that their plane has got flaws in it. That's all I'm telling you. It's not. So they built, yeah, they got underground facilities. So let's laugh about it. We have the information. We're going to have to be, like the picture I showed you, somewhat above a ground in the side of the hill or something. So you have access. You're going to have to build greenhouses in order to offset these things. And the greenhouses are going to be designed in a way to withstand these winds that are going to be created by all of this, the changes that's happening. I mean, we're going to have, I mean, in Mount Baldy, California, you know where that's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, 212 mile an hour winds for a week up there at the top. Yeah. Same thing at both poles. Well, we got, what, hurricanes hitting 250 and 300 miles an hour, wiping out all over the, we don't know where it's going to be safe. I do know because of the mountain ranges where I am right now, and I ask about where we're safe for my job, where I could have went to Four Corners. So I looked at all of that.
Right.
I didn't go there because of transportation. If I'm going to be flying around, I want to be at a place where I have access to the airlines reasonably cheap.
Well, I mean, but are airlines going to be...
They're not going to be flying much longer either.
Well, that's...
It's all going to be coming to a... I could say we're going to come to a screeching halt. So how do we live? The farmers know how to live here, but we have people over here that are crazy. They're already been led by the programs until the kids... They go immediately, they're on their computer games learning how to kill things. They have no soul left. They'll be set in line, they'll go give them a gun, that'll just be a big computer game to them.
Okay. but what do you say to people that say, look, if you think it, you create it. So you're putting energy out in a direction.
You mean
of
a thought made manifest?
Yeah.
Remember, you have to go to the intent of the thought.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, the wise
just reporting where
no,
it's at?
The first rule is to gain all knowledge so you can wisely follow the laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the train's coming down here and your car is parked right up here, and if I don't tell you the train's there, then shame on you for not knowing and shame on me for not telling you.
Absolutely.
So that's what my whole game is. I'll tell you what the whole game's all about.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is take the information, discern it, go do your own research to find out, and it's even worse than what I'm telling you. A much bigger picture coming down the line.
When's the train coming?
Well, you think it's
on the way. I mean, it's on the track. It's on the way. Seriously.
There are various trains. I mean, you know,
well, everybody's agenda. So you give a whole group of people an agenda to go accomplish their mission, right? I've got a job to get my stuff out. What do you think of the guys that are planning on taking over the world and their agendas? Each one of them in different country has got something and think that they're fulfilling their mission, ego, power, whatever position in there. I'm going to be safe. What if they're just going to be turned over and not safe? They'll be taken out the last minute. And that's the game that you can't know. And we don't, none of us know. I mean, there's no master plan because it's a plan. The plan 2000. And the plans always have changed because of this free will deal. Now, the ultimate game of this thing is the clones. Now you come back to that. These people are programmed to do things. Now they can think. So maybe they can change at some time later, but you can't change too much. This game's on. The game is on right now.
What about stargates? Are you aware of the natural stargates around the planet?
Well, I've heard about those, but I'm not. I don't see us taking off and going one place to another. From a lot, you know, from the information I'm getting from the Pleiadians and other ones, they use rather the methods, you know, using magnetics and that effort to switch time and space if you want to, or bend it.
Uh-huh.
But as far as going into it and immediately going to where and why, and are you spiritually balanced? If you're not balanced, you're not going to go anywhere. That's the reason why they call this a prison planet.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get off of it.
Have you been told there's bases on Mars and Moon?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I also been told that any night, if you could have a clear sky, look at the stars that are strobing red, blue, and green. Those are all spacecraft.
Right.
We're the focal point. Like you're taking your cameras to take pictures of me.
Yeah.
The ETs are doing the same thing for planet Earth. And the ETs I'm involved in are monitoring not only the physical world, but your soul level. And if your soul comes back in, it clicks on like a Christmas tree light. So we're trying to light up the whole planet to have those. At this point, all they can do is focus on those that are awakened,
mm-hmm,
to assist them They're not going to do it for us. They would have, but they can't do it now. They said they would come down and help us clean the planet up. But it's too far gone right now, so we're going to have to go through this incredible tribulation. Are we going to make it?
Are we?
If you want me to, I'll read you the last message. It will tell you there's a reason for it, for as the creation is finding out what works and what doesn't. Have to come back. Are we going to make it? It doesn't look good. Am I positive about it? I'm positive that we're going to go in incredible chaos. Do I want to be part of it? I'm already part of it, right?
Yeah. So
I woke up today. I'm alive. I'm unhappy for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But you go. The answer to the question that you had, frankly, this is from the ETs themselves. As difficult as the planetary situation is, there's a purpose to it. Mankind must learn to be a responsible being individually, which then in composite form is reflected in the planetary whole. It must also be remembered that the adversarial energies that have been applied have been carefully planned and carried out over eons of sequential time. Humanity has been considered only as pawns in a chess game that contains more power plays than the third dimensional mind can grasp. This does not relegate humanity to an unimportant role. Conscious awareness is at the top of the creational pile. That's what we're talking about. And not to be taken lightly. However, it is for this same conscious awareness to become aware of itself and its purpose through the experience gained in self-created circumstances based on the laws of attraction. Victim consciousness draws abusive situations and then experience from both actions until conscious awareness realizes the futility of such behavior and abandons it of its own accord. Difficult as it is to accept this as the truth, the bottom line of the scenario and point. It is understood that undue influence has been exercised, but simply put, the lessons have become more and more extreme in order that the necessary realizations be made by at least a portion of the experiencing conscious awareness units, human beings. Where in the message are encouraging words? We can only suggest that the previous messages given in the handbook and its sequels be reviewed with new impetus and focus that need to be known by the ground crew as clearly delineated in them. It's a final wake-up call. Final wake-up call.
Right.
Let it be taken seriously. In the days to be experienced by humanity as time winds down, it's necessary for those of you who are now in the know, so to speak, begin to focus on what might be called holding the fort. That's what you got to do. As the chaos increases, it's important that there be those who can keep their focus and balance as the meltdown begins in earnest. That's what you're asking about. How do you keep balanced? You got to just keep it. You know that there's an outcome and know that you're being guided to help. Though it appears that all is lost, it's the steadfastness of the few that will determine just how much chaos and suffering will be experienced. While it seems there's a little use in doing it, I can assure you that it's critical. Exactly what does it mean? It means that the people must hold a vision of a connection to the Creator's plan. It's not necessary that they know the plan, because you don't. Even the Creator's changing things around. No matter how difficult in circumstance the plan of the Creator will come into being, it probably will not happen in ways that were previously conceived by those working on it through these many generations, but it will happen. Creation created it. It's got to come back to the balance, doesn't it? While time in the third dimension continues to pass day by day, in dimensions where there's no time, that's an interesting thing. Only the experiences, right? Mm-hmm. These are the things that are coming up to us. So it's like a huge puzzle, and pieces of the puzzles are being put in all the different places. But they're not coming together exactly in sequence like we do it, but they are coming together. And that's where we're involved right now, and what we have to do is come into balance, understanding what you're looking at around the planet, to find out the answers to much of the information that you had, that you were trying to find, and try to allow that information to be filtered on to other people to get them prepared. Right now it's preparation time.
Now, what do you mean prepared? You mean get yourself together in the right place with the right people to be self-sufficient and balanced and do it yesterday.
Well, that's not quick enough. No, that's exactly correct. You know, it's like this message to the ground crew. I only give this book to the people that's read the other three books. I mean, you can pick any of the three books that were set out here. You know, I'm like Becoming was the last big book that we come out. Anybody can take these things and just read one of the sentences. I mean, just pick one at random. You know, we did it out here. It says, within the blessings of education, the proliferation of broadcast communications and the printed word for the distribution of knowledge lies the problem of discerning what is of value and what is deliberately placed within these sources to mislead and misinform. Isn't that the question that you guys asked a few minutes ago? Herein is the next level of understanding that discernment as to what is appropriate and what must be applied to all input. Within each is invited to the law of attraction, for like attracts like. A victim attitude draws not only fellow victims into one's life, but also abusers to provide the victim experience. So all this stuff is all filled out. Most people can't read it.
Yeah.
But that's the reason they have been so programmed by the whole system over eons of time. And so, you know, it's like a guy says, here, I pull out a little book over there and it says the Gideon Bible. Well, even the president didn't get sworn under a Gideon Bible. He didn't get sworn under a King James Bible, right? He's sworn under a Jefferson Bible. Why? Jefferson Bible, he's a Mason. Our forefathers were all Masons in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So Bible means group of books. And King James, he had a good associate, put his together. Francis Bacon was a smart guy. Him and 50 guys created a King James Version. Version means opinion, isn't it? So it's obviously somebody's done something. Where did that come from? Well, then you go clear back to, the year 325 when they assembled all kinds of books. Why didn't they put the book of Enoch in the Bible? I mean, Enoch was a real character, wasn't he? You know, he's from Ethiopia. He was black. All of his followers saw him walk out into a field and taken aboard a spacecraft. Never came back. That's in his book. You don't want to put that. Ezekiel he talks about seeing a wheel within a wheel. Doesn't that kind of sets down, he puts it down. If you look at it, there's a lot of history within the Bible, but even all the rabbis, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I was in New York City, the New York Times, they had a full page ad. They said the book of Exodus is a lie. And yet, that's in the Old Testament.
Right.
So now you start looking at it, now I start weighing it out. It's like the so-called Ten Commandments, right? The so-called, I use that.
Yeah.
If you take Exodus 20, it's the so-called Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 says, thou shalt not kill. Exodus 21 says, it's okay to kill your dad if he strikes you. It does.
Yeah, no, I...
But the real commandment is, thou shalt not murder thy fellow man on thought or deed. Now you're coming back. But see, it doesn't say that in the Bibles, right? It's like that, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. What day is that? Let's divide people. Let's argue, Saturday or Sunday. Not recognizing that every day you give thanks to the Creator. That's the Sabbath every day.
Mm-hmm.
For the ability for you to manifest at this level. Well, we just changed two of the so-called Ten Commandments. That's like me changing two of the stocks in the Dow Jones 30. They just did that last week, right? So we got a new deck of cards we're playing with.
Right.
And that's what they've been doing periodically for the whole system of society as they start putting out the printed word. And we have words. We no longer commit the telepathic information, because you can't lie telepathically.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I have a simple question for you now. Why are you still alive, George? Why haven't they put poison in your salad in a restaurant somewhere? Are you blessed, lucky, or do they think they've won?
No, they think they've won. And I asked that of my CIA buddies because I'm a crossover. You know, I go both sides. My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting guidance and protection from the guys upstairs.
Sure.
The second thing is, the guys that are in control, they understand that there's a much bigger picture. I mean, the ones that aren't cloned, all they think is the only thing that exists is this physical dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are in that position. In other words, all that exists is what I can, touch, feel, or taste, right?
Right.
They don't have any consideration.
So you're protected at a higher level, and we feel the same way because we're out there every day. And it's a miracle, really, that we are able to do our work every day and get by. Have you had close calls?
No.
No.
No. No, and I've been with, I sat with one of the CIA guys. We were in Latin America. And we're sitting here, and he's got these big pistols sitting on top of the thing. And he kills people. Has no compunction about it. That's what, I talked to another one. It works for the CIA. It's killed 112 foreign leaders. I mean, took out whole airplanes just to get one person.
Right.
I mean, these people, they don't have any compunction. They're doing their job. And they look at, and I look at that same thing. Yeah, they could do it. But on another level, all they're doing is getting rid of this rent-a-wreck, right? And I have a DNA program that says that I'm only going to have so many more years to live anyway. And we have a sequence. Are we going to make it through the year 2012 or 224? There's several dates that we have. I don't have. 2012 is the common date, but it's not necessarily correct because of the change of the Gregorian calendar, So all we know is looking at the sequence of events, as the Earth changes begin in earnest, and we start watching the information that we have in earnest from the documents we have, and, we have the Georgia Guidestones tell you what their goals are.
Right.
I mean, all these things all come to play. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, hey, we're coming up. Do we have to sit here and play in this game in front of all of it? So I've been looking at other places that have people generally are living at a different level. They're not caught up in the game of consumption, greed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I look at right now, is most of the people just consume, and the greed is incredible.
A little while ago, you were interviewed, or made an appearance on Dr. Bill Deagle's show.
Oh, yeah, that's been a while, but Dr. Deagle? Yeah.
I think that was back in May last year or something like that.
I've been on it a couple of times.
Yeah. And
you're not on his show, frankly.
We've spoken to him. We haven't met him yet. We'd like to talk to him. And he's an interesting guy because he's very fire and brimstone, as you know, and he tends to...
He controls everything.
Yeah.
You're invited on his show, but he does it all.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. He's got a lot to say.
I know.
To talk to.
Well, he knows what it is. He's got his program.
Yeah. But if we could ask you, and if you want this to be excised from the tape later, this is all cool. We wondered what your personal opinion was of his very apocalyptic information and message that he delivers. And also, what's interesting is people say, well, if what you say is true, why haven't they killed you? And he says, well, I'm doing a favor for them because I'm shaking the tree to see, because they want to know who's going to jump ship. That's one of the things that he said.
Well, there is that avenue. It's like right now, I'm noticing a couple of things. When you go up on the internet, like for instance, searching for airline tickets, right? Well, the cookies are in there immediately. If you don't book it right now, the price of the ticket will go up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I watch it.
It's the same thing with booking hotel rooms. If you go in and book it right away, you'll get a real cheap one. If you come back an hour later, it'll be gone.
That's right.
And that's all part of their cookies on all of these things. So you put in, you do as much as you're planning. Well, they're monitoring everything we do. I mean, it's so funny right now in this country. The backup computer system for the United States military is,
Well, in Colorado?
Walmart. Walmart has the biggest computer systems to keep track of the goods and stuff coming into all their... They have a big truck line. They have all the store. They're selling everything. So they know what you consume, who it is. They got all these little cards to check it all out. So that's another way of monitoring.
Oh, yeah.
When you turn on the TVs of the new definitions now, they're coming out. They'd be able to, the new computers, they get to see who is that on each one of them. And as you know, even your cell phone, unless you take the battery out, they can monitor you.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're being checked on all. It's like, Aaron Russo, From Freedom to Fascism.
Yeah.
People that, for instance, buy this book, I give them a free copy.
Mm-hmm.
So they can look at Aaron. I also included three other DVDs in there, information on it.
So he was...
Do you think they killed him?
Well, no. Aaron and I spent an afternoon. We were when he was running for governor. Aaron, I was telling him, God, I said, you're an idiot running for the governor here in Nevada. Well, no, I told him that exactly the way. I said, Nevada's run by the mafia.
Sure.
I mean, there's two different mafia. One controls Reno, one controls Las Vegas. And I was explaining that to him. I said, so you're over here because there's certain considerations in the state of Nevada that you can get. Because the mafia runs the state, so why would you be in, like me? I'm a Nevada resident.
Right, but you're not there.
Well, that doesn't make any difference. Don't you declare your residency anywhere you want to be?
Okay.
Right. Now, why would you do that?
I don't know.
No taxes.
Oh, right. Nevada has no taxes, yes.
Why? All the casinos and everything else.
Sure.
So that it's all been a setup in the first place. So you, what you do is, why give money for taxes? Because none of it, or, well, I won't say none of it, but none of your income tax goes to run our government. 100% of that, as you know, goes to the interest of the Federal Reserve. That's all in the movie From Freedom to Fascism. I've known that for a long time. It's the, you know, property taxes, and that goes to the schools. And, you know, all the tax system is all set up to take more of the money out of you. Well, obviously, if I'm a citizen, and I, you know, I have a residence in Nevada, I have all these kinds of things that I can do.
Uh-huh.
I can go anywhere. It doesn't mean I have to be there. I can go to, you know, I've been going to Costa Rica for years. Right now, it's easy to get a citizenship in Ecuador. It's easy to get citizenship in Panama, get another passport. The feds have moved into these other banks and says, if you want to play with our game, you have to give us the name, if even if it's an officer or a director,
yeah.
You know that, of a corporation?
Yeah.
Or a foundation or anything else connected?
Yeah, and I mean, you can't get away from them, basically. Even offshore, that's the crazy thing.
I know. Well, why do some of our billionaires, you know, like Bill Cosby, why do they live offshore? They have an island, Nemus?
Yeah.
Their own country. The only trouble with the Caribbean is all the countries down there are controlled by the drug lords right now.
Well, isn't that true of Ecuador and Colombia and all
No,
that?
Colombia is pretty much it. My CIA friend's living in Colombia right now. He's got a big resort down there on the ocean. He says, I don't care. And yeah, they don't bother.
Really?
But I've been to Colombia, and it's the division of people. In Colombia, it's either the rich and the poor, you know,
right.
The knaves. And so that's the same thing with going down to Brazil. The poverty is so extreme. I mean, you go on Ipanema, and you got guards with machine guns on there. You go to the shoe shop, they only show one of them on display because people come in and steal both of them. And if they do steal, and the guards sitting there just watch it, they don't do anything. And the tourists, you're just bait. And the big thing right now for
right.
Americans in Mexico and down there is they're kidnapping people and for
right.
ransom.
Well, isn't Ecuador and these other places,
no,
they're not?
No, Ecuador is not that way.
So why is that?
I don't know. We don't have bars in the windows in Ecuador. We don't have any. It isn't the money anyway today. It's just the game we're playing. Because the money's going to go away. I have enough so I can go buy you dinner.
Hmm.
You know, that's all. It's who cares after that, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Well, basically you need to buy a house and land where
you
go, right?
No. Why would you want to buy anything? I'm an old real estate guy. We rent.
Oh, rent?
60% of the people in Beverly Hills
rent. You
rent
in Ecuador, though?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just down there. Brand new condo. Brand new.
Right.
2,000 square foot. 3-bedroom, 3.5 baths, veranda, whole schmear. $500 a month.
That's probably true.
Why would I want? I could buy it for $50,000, but why would I put $50,000 in there? Because they really don't have financing. So why would I tie up $50,000 in gold when I know gold's going to go to, you know, $200,000?
Right.
Why don't I give them $5,000 for a year's rent?
Mm-hmm.
And I can hire a maid or somebody else who wants to and help them at the same time. I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want to affect That's their true. System. So you can rent anywhere.
And you have the flexibility to go somewhere else.
I have liquidated almost all my real estate.
Really?
I'm only in hard assets.
Hmm.
I have, you know, I was a registered financial principal with the NASD and a securities underwriter. You knew that. I used to issue stocks until I found out it was such a crooked game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just for brokers, just to trade without having any, you know, money of their own in the thing.
So what would you tell somebody who is really wealthy at this point, what to do with his money?
Well, the wealthy, you mean just to save
because,
the money?
Because
they're
we
really
understand
money?
That the United States actually has laws. Banks, like, don't allow you to just give your money to someone. They don't allow you to liquidate all your assets.
That's right.
They're limits. To what you
there are limits on transferring money right now, over $12,000. I was taking money in at $12,000 and more.
Yeah.
And I was over at the bankers and I'm talking to them about it. They don't understand it because they don't want to listen to the bigger story. Since they're transferring the money, they don't want to give away the assets. There are ways to move money in and out of this country.
If somebody, you know, listens to you or listens even to some other people that are out there talking, You know, they say, I want to liquidate my assets. I want to move my money to Europe into the Swiss franc or whatever. It becomes very difficult.
I know. That's the reason why every bank will take it and put it in the basket of currencies. But it's also being notified that it still comes back to the dollar if you're trading it back. And so they can keep track of that. Now, do you want to get it completely out of the country? Yeah. There's ways to do that, and I'd rather not tell you right now because there's a few people with a lot of money. And all you want to do, if it's just to maintain your money and stuff on it and you're not helping humanity in some way, I could care less of helping you, frankly.
Right.
If you've got something in another agenda in order to assist or facilitate getting information to waken people up, or like my friends who are setting up a clinic in Ecuador right now for curing cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They're curing cancer. They cure the vice president's wife of cancer. Well, they need all the help they can get. The government's helping them, giving them citizenship. At 30, you know, 60 days they're down there getting Ecuadorian citizenship. All you have to do is show income of $500 a month and you can get citizenship down there anyway, or you can get a...
Well, how do you... just logistically, how do you show income of $500 a month if you're not living in the U.S.?
Well, if you just have cash, you can put it on deposit the same way. It's like in Panama, you put $50,000 down
and
put your $50,000 and have them invested in their tree farm down there for the environment, and they'll loan you the money, then they'll give you citizenship. So you got, there's a lot of ways to do it.
Uh-huh.
Ecuador is a little freer than that right now. Costa Rica used to be that way, but Costa Rica has gone down the tubes. It costs more money to live in Costa Rica.
If you're in the United States, though, and your money is overseas, when things crash down, you're not going to be able to get your money.
What do you think I have in my pocket right now? What are we talking about? You understand my game?
Yeah.
I may have money in a lot of different places, but where do I have it? I can go anywhere. Passport, and what do I have in my pocket?
Right.
And how long will 20 pieces of gold go?
And how long will they let you? I mean, they're going to close the borders at some point.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So... how many Mexicans are coming across the border, and how many can you go across? I have a friend with airplanes in New Mexico that can fly down there. We have a lot of ways to get out of here if you really need to.
Right.
Believe it or not, you can get cargo ships. There's a lot of them in out of Long Beach, out of Seattle. Get on a cargo ship and just head off. They're going to keep. They want to keep commerce. Remember the secret. They want to keep commerce going, but if the currency's no good. Then we're going to go, that's when things are going to get serious, and that's where we're going to go, the concentration camps, and I don't want to be here then.
No, I wouldn't either.
Are you expecting communications to go down?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any kind of a time?
Keep watching all that because of, you know, what has happened in the last month or so because of the transfer, when we're talking about money transfers, because I used to have a couple of $1 million a day coming into my office from people that, you know, wanted to put
well,
it
for
out.
Example, when they cut those cables and they cut off all the, you know...
In the Middle East?
Yeah.
That was because they were going on the borsch. You know, Iran went on the borsch, which is the trading instrument to get off the dollar. By treaty, it was agreed that the dollar was the trading of the oil. And they're all getting off of that. They're going to the euro. Well, Iran has set up the borsch trading. When they did that, they were going to put that into effect last month. And conveniently... all the cables got cut so they couldn't have the communications to make the transfers out of New York. Well, New York's about ready to collapse. In fact, I can see New York vaporized.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, if you're going to hit a country, New York, Washington, D.C., and Atlanta, you've wiped out the communications on the east side. West, and then we got the problem also, the New Madrid's going to break loose, and that's going to split apart.
Right.
So we're going to have two countries, basically, over here.
And Yellowstone, you think that...
No, I'm not worried about it. It's dimming.
Volcanoes?
All
what about volcanoes?
Well, we're going to have volcanoes going up. I don't know about Rainier taking off, but maybe, you know, some of
them. Are you close to it?
Well, actually, when St. Helens went off up here, they had a foot of ash all the way around here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember, it was, you know, heavy ash, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, it's going to be challenging. The question is, do you want to be in the midst of it or not? And I keep asking the guys, and in fact, I was all what we were talking about. We packed up everything last month, and the ETs basically gave me one word: wait. So we've unpacked.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. They told me to wait
because you're more valuable here than somewhere else, right?
Well,
it's about strategic positions on the battlefield. Yeah?
I think so. It's remember, we're speaking. Maybe you guys are putting out information. The other programs I'm doing, the information is going out to some place to trigger somebody and something else in order to consolidate this mess of what's going to be left.
Right.
And I think it's like what you're doing. It's a question of being able to communicate and get around this planet right now. It's a job. I can go anywhere right now. I don't have any problem going through, you know, immigration or customs or anything right now. I know that's going to be coming down. And I also know ways. I was just talking with my friend. I mean, I used to fly an airplane myself. Well, I had 5 airplanes. So I got out of that game. I got, you know, we got nuts that I always get an airplane to go someplace if I need to, you know. I'm only a mile from an airport right now where I live, you know, a private place.
Right. So they told you to wait, so
wait.
Something's going on right now.
Yeah, something's coming on, and I don't have
What can you tell us about sort of like psychologically where you're at? I mean, I know you wake up every day and you're glad to be alive, but are you, in other words, do you wonder about your own safety, the safety of close people to you at this moment?
No, I'm not even, well, I have to come back into it because of my family.
Right.
Same thing, you were concerned about your kids and my
sure.
grandkids and all that. But I have to go through the law and allow, these are different entities that come into this life at this life stage. They're making their own decisions.
Well, what about the indigo children? You're aware of them?
Sure. The kids are coming in with extreme knowledge and stuff. I'm hoping maybe they're here at this time to be part of the, quote, the knowledge pool for the limited amount of people that's going to be left.
Right.
I'm not judging.
But they're also here maybe to help the change of consciousness.
Well, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, we come back to logic of the universe. Consciousness is at another level. So when you're talking about the physical reality of the indigo children, talking about physical reality, that's not doing the consciousness change. Consciousness change is going to be at a different understanding.
Do you agree that we're going to move from, we're in the third density now, we're going through the fourth, and we're going to end up in the fifth? Have you heard that?
Well, I've heard the transitions of the different vibrational levels, and that we would probably not know the shift. I do know that it's occurring.
Right.
I've heard that it's occurring, but because of the shifting of it, we wouldn't notice anything. And with the consciousness level again, it's not going to be any different if it's that level. Because we're still locked into this physical reality we call physical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the problem is. I don't think that we're going to be shifted into another dimension and that's going to make it all light and lovely, because the creation doesn't work that way. It experiences things to find out what is right and wrong and what's good and bad, however we view it. Mm-hmm. Remember, I got that train coming down here, and that's a good train because it's got a whole load of vegetables and everything for the kids. But if you're parked out in the middle of it, then that's bad. So I got to balance all this, right? Isn't that the balance
absolutely.
Of all this?
Absolutely.
So we can't make the judgment until we find out what's really happening in a much bigger picture, and it's not my job.
Okay.
It's not my job.
Okay.
I'm not a traffic cop to tell people what, you know, where they're supposed to be. I can assist them if they come to me, and I won't deny information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a personal nature, and I'm not going to tell people to go out and kill anybody because that's against the rules again.
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, in fact, I'm concerned about all of that. I was raised in a packing house, a slaughterhouse.
Right. I remember this now.
And I reached a point where I killed that last cow. In fact, it followed me up and looked at me, and I killed it. That was the last one I ever did. Because I recognize that it's like that, if you've been watching TV lately or on the internet, of the elephants out there that are painting pictures in India.
We saw a video of that. Wonderful.
Well, they put it on the...
Did they?
Yeah, on Good Morning America. No, great. But it's just showing that there is conscious, and we know that. I mean, it's
animals.
Chris Birds with when he did his stuff on the... talking to the plants. You know, that ET group down in Brazil that were plants. Look like humans, but chlorophyll-based.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got that salve. I still have that information for curing cancer. And so, you know, the game becomes very, you know, just exploring. I love the exploration of what the universe is all about. I'd be glad to, you know, take off and go to other planets and explore and do things. But that's not my job at this point, is to try to awaken and save the remnant. Does it look good? No. But I'm going to keep trying and say I'm not failing because I'm doing my job.
You definitely are doing your job, George Green.
Well, is it going fast enough? Maybe.
Let me ask you one thing about the time in Atlanta. Sorry, have you been told anything about, you know, that we've been through this again,
yes,
in the past as an earth and as a people?
Sure. My wife, who's a clairvoyant, remembers the total time of Atlantis and Lemuria.
And when they went from Atlantis and the destruction of Atlantis,
all of
that. And
they
went to
Egypt.
She
can tell you the whole thing and who was in charge and how it all happened, and we're going to go through the same thing.
Okay.
But there's something to look at. It's okay to look back. Don't stare.
Okay, that's interesting, yeah.
No, seriously. Because
right.
You can get caught up in what is there. And remember what I told you in the beginning. The only thing that exists is right now and what we're creating. And it's not only the we, it's everybody else that's involved in their thought processes that is being coalesced from the creation in order to try to figure a way to come back out of this with the least destruction to the soul energy.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul has to wake up and say, wait a minute, there's something above me. See, the ego keeps you back down to the me, I, and all that kind of stuff. We're all together. I love you all. We don't care. We're all one.
Wonderful throwaway question and answer about 3/4 an hour ago about whether you were aware of the existence of bases on the moon and Mars. This is another part of the big jigsaw puzzle. Are you aware of whether or not there are evacuation plans among the powers that be to take a certain portion?
They have plans, but they don't have.
The Van Allen belt is set, the radiation level, they won't allow them to go through that. The moon is an artificial satellite. You're aware of that. It was put there.
Yeah, it was more.
And it's always facing the planet. It was give us the second energy source on the planet. The second energy source to allow the tides so we could harness all those things. That's what it was all about. And also to get the light at certain areas, to make people ponder. People just quit thinking about logics of the universe again. How did we get this object up there? How come there's so many crop circles and what are the messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
Crop circles are obviously have a message, and there's messages there. Isn't a couple of farmers stomping things out? And, you know, on my video, the big picture that I have at mine, you see the crop circles being made. I have the orb actually showing them. Mm-hmm. So they're going. So we have to, get to that level. And then the next question is, okay, if you're interested in the physical reality of the ETs, there's much evidence in museums in Peru. They've got them down there, all the bones. We've got some around here and up other places. They keep them hidden right now within the universities, but you can dig them up.
What about the crystal skulls?
Well, my good friend did a movie on that called The Crystal Skulls. And they don't know where they come from. And that's, it's kind of like the balls those huge balls
in
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting them all and they're putting them in a little community down there. When I first down there, that's the height. If you got a lot of money, you own one of those balls that's down there. And they don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
You know, I ask about that. It's just a need to know, I guess. It's kind of like Easter Island, which is a group of giants, you know, that was there and they died out and.
So, in other words, sometimes the ETs answer you and give you information on something. And
it's a need to know. Yeah, but why bother with, you know, it's like we're talking about. Yeah, I can give you we'll find you the whole history. You can put down the truth of what on. You know, history is two words, right? His story, always written by the victor.
Absolutely.
All the way down the line. And that's what you have to look at. History is fun to play with, but life is more fun right now. So you're asking me, yeah, I'm aware of all of this stuff. It's great fun. I'm trying to get, and I'm having fun waking people up because so many people are so asleep. It's, you know, it's a game to play with them. I have a lot of knowledge because mine's a hand-on thing. I mean, you know, I did all this stuff. It isn't reading, I read a lot of books, but most of mine is, I'm so curious. I just grabbed a plane and went to go find out for myself. I mean, that's got me in trouble in Billy.
I presume that you are not in a position to help us meet Billy.
No. Well, Billy doesn't want to meet anybody. You already met somebody.
My impression.
What's his name down at, supposedly his liaison might be.
Yeah, we did.
But I don't know if he'd help you or not either. But, you know, Billy.
No, I know Michael, you know.
Michael Horn?
Yeah, well, I know Michael.
You know, they got mad at me.
He's tried, but we haven't.
No, I published the Talmud of Emmanuel over there, and they got all mad about that because I didn't put the German in it. Yeah, I don't know if you understand the original. When I got the Talmud, we had a college kid translate it from that high German, that Schweizer Deutsch, into English. And my wife and I took the documents over. I mean, this is even more strange. We just took the documents over here, and we immediately, I sent out a whole bunch of copies to people. One of them was to a guy named, he's in California, I'm going to put his name on there. Thing. Anyway, he reprinted it, and they changed some stuff around. And he was channeling so-called Hatan. And the information we got was that was really good stuff. And I dropped $500,000 and got a divorce, actually about $1 million, and got a divorce over that thing because we thought they were really connected with, you know, that group, and it turned out to be a big swindle.
Oh, man.
Anyway, they published the Talmud, their version of it. Well, my wife and Jim Deardorff worked on it for 2 years. Well, now we got another problem that stepped in. That was my ex-wife. I've only been married a few months, just so you know. But my ex-wife and I, we spent 20 years going running around the world, you know, playing the game. But when we met Billy over there, we kind of made agreements together. Well, what was the problem with the Talmud? That was the teachings of Emmanuel or Christ, right? Well, where did Christ go and where is he now? Well, we became in contact. Now that stops the whole story again, doesn't it? With
meaning,
the Christ being Emmanuel, who calls himself Sananda right now. Then we got the information on the translation of the Talmud, so then we did it, and we said, why do we want to put the German down? Because Billy wasn't responsible for that. That was the Greek priest, Rashid, who did the translation from Aramaic into Schweizer Deutsch. There wasn't any copyright. It wasn't Billy's anyway in the first place. So what we did is then we were working on doing the translations. Then we were in contact directly with the Christ being energy. It's kind of like what I did, the Nostradamus material with Dolores Cannon. You familiar with her?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know you did that.
Dolores Cannon couldn't talk to anybody. She was stutterer all the time. And she sent me the manuscript. I so read the manuscript, and I told Desiree, I says, you know, this is pretty interesting. Let's check it out. So we made a contract. We published Dolores Cannon's first book, Conversations with Nostradamus, Volume 1 to Volume 2. I then set it up because we had a place in Beverly Hills. We got NBC and CBS to do our features on it. Nobody bought any books. Dolores got all bent out of shape by that because she said, the book's got to be in every bookstore. Well, you can't force bookstores to take the books. So she sent me, and her husband's in a wheelchair. I don't know if you knew that. I said, don't bother. Forget it. So we gave her a contract back, and that's when she started the Ozark thing, and she was into the UFO stuff, doing her hypnosis. When we were doing the conversations with Nostradamus at the same time that they were doing the I Am America map, and they were doing Gordon Scallion was doing their map, I said, well, let's ask Nostradamus, because Nostradamus claimed, as you know, under hypnosis to be coming through the subject at that time, if you know the story.
Well, actually, no, I haven't read that book, but okay.
I published it. I have it, so you can have that too.
I'd love to read it.
Well, we looked at it. It's Nostradamus. He was concerned about what the translations were. So Dolores didn't know anything about it. She went to and got the book by Erica Cheatham on the quatrains. What they did, there was her subject, who was in a trance, they would read him the quatrain and the translation, and then Nostradamus would clear it up. He says, I want to warn you for what's coming down now. This is all before we come into ball with Billy Meyer, just so you know. So anyway, I sat down with that, and I said, okay, this is great. Now, tell me what the United States is like. That's when she did a map. And I said, that's not exactly the same way. And then we did another one, and we did another one. We had three different maps on what the United States is going to look like, coming from Dolores.
Right.
Then she gave me another one, Jesus and the Essenes, the book. You heard about that one,
right? I read that. Interesting book.
Well, I know, except for we were in contact with the guy called Emmanuel at that time directly. He said, I never joined the Essenes. I went to see what they were like. But I wasn't a member of their group. I was investigating. So I reported that back to Dolores again. I says, we can't publish it because it doesn't have the truth in it. Now, we're directly with the, now this is out of whack if you want to look at it. We're directly in contact with the Christ being, if you call them Jesus or Emmanuel, explaining to us what had happened at that time. And he says, hey, I was just like you guys, went on over to the Mormons to check out what's going on. I didn't join them.
Right.
So he didn't become an Essene.
Okay, that's great information.
Well, I'm just sharing it, but it's part of the drama that we have, and because I'm living all of a sudden, we're involved with the Christ being and his story, trying to get his information for, and we made the agreement again to publish the information. Well, some of that came from Billy, right? But the Talmud came from Rashid of documents that were in the resin jar.
Hmm.
So that's where Billy got mad at me, because we published another version. Hmm. He wanted his stamp on it, what he is. Well, I'm in direct contact with the being. Now what do you do?
And, well, there's also a controversy around that, because Billy was also, there said that he was Jesus at some point.
No, he wasn't.
And I didn't think he was either, but, you know,
no, he was not.
That's something that he
was. See, that's where some of his thing is, where the ego steps in and make the discernment on the stuff. And my contact, we ended up publishing another book, and it's called The Spiritual Laws and Lessons. And what the Christ being wanted to do was have the messages or the laws, and he spelled out a whole page or two pages of information, so there would be no, he says, no mistakes on what the rule book is on the physical dimension.
Hmm.
So it's fascinating to read. However, the divorce and all the Hatton material and all that junk, because we put up, everybody thought that we financed the whole thing. I mean, I was blowing maybe $50,000 a month financing the project for a while. And then E.J. Ecker, they had all the people, they're going to create a whole, they call it the, up in Tehachapi, California. They're going to create this whole enclave, and I bought into what they had too. And I said, well, hey, I can do all of that stuff. But then we found out he was telling people that I was on the board of all that, of their corporation, and they had given him millions of dollars. And the people came to me and said, how do we get it back? So immediately, we got sued, and they put it in their newspaper, and basically said that, I'm suing Jesus Christ. They put that to the headlines, George Green is suing Jesus Christ. I had nothing to do with any of that stuff on it. And they didn't tell anybody that I was directly involved with that, because they couldn't do that. But we ended up publishing 60 of their books called the Phoenix Journals.
And we is who?
My wife and I, Desiree and I.
And but basically you published them, but you know that they're not, they're basically...
Well, let me tell you what happened. Walter Russell, who had their home studies course and all kinds of stuff, had books, The Secret of Light, Atomic Suicide, and they were in contact with a group of extraterrestrials too. Their information was put into the Phoenix Journals. She claims that she channeled the information and put down in the books. And of course, I just published the books.
Mm-hmm.
We bought into it and say, okay, that's real. Then I was sued by the University of Science for copyright infringement.
So she copied it from
Wait a minute. Let me tell you how the story opened up the Pandora's box. My wife says, wait a minute, this isn't right, because it was word for word. There wasn't any changes in it or anything. It was word for word. We're not going to do this. So we investigated, and some of the people around us, we gave them a job to look at where all the books came from. Turned out every one of them came from someplace else.
Wow.
So, well, except for two. The two that we did ourselves directly from the guidance from above. So two of the Phoenix Journals, they're okay. The rest of them, they're not that there's not truth in them, because they were taken from other information. This Hatton character at that time, and we're not sure, that's kind of like Jay-Z Knight, you know, Rampa.
Yeah.
You could put information in, but not necessarily, is it all Jay-Z or is it all Rampa? You have to discern the truth as you come by.
Always.
So when we got through this whole thing, E.J. and Doris, it was D.J. and Doris, they moved to Philippines, so they knew they couldn't be extradited, because everybody was trying to get their money back. And they sued us, and every time we went someplace, we could go out for lunch, they'd sue my wife, or server, to come in for depositions. And have you been to a deposition? That's like mind rape. And E.T.'s told me, keep her away from that, because it'll break everything up. Well, it finally did. She'd come home and cry for a couple of days after that. We never did. We always got dismissed. Because it was just allegations. And they learned how the court system works so well that they just file suits against you from with non-existent corporations.
Huh.
And then you have to answer the suit because it's part of their game that they had. And then they had their newspaper, the Phoenix Journals, the Phoenix Express or whatever they called the thing. Anyway, they would put all of the lawsuits against us. Remember the conflict resolution? You have to have an enemy out here, like we have to have bin Laden, or we got to have somebody. I mean, ultimately, we're going to have the whole planet put together against the common enemy from space.
Oh, right.
That's under the Majestic 12 program.
Do you believe there's going to be a hologram graphic representation of the invasion?
I don't know. It's whatever they want to create. I'm saying at some point, they got to get everybody united using the technology of the alien spaceship. Exactly. Other than that, we create one.
Right.
Whether it's a hologram or whether it's not, who cares?
Yeah.
We know what their agenda is.
Sure.
What my agenda is right now, are they going to pull this off this weekend, right?
Yeah.
No, the stories go incredible because, like I say, you asked me whether it turns out that the Christ being has been monitoring me before because some of the same messages I got when I met Desiree, because there was some question at that time, you know, what was going on, but I better do that to awaken her for her job, and she did her job. And well, I'm not going to go into what it was, but
okay.
she has accomplished what she's supposed to do.
I see.
And so, you know, we all have something we have to do. She has got hers done now, and she'll always be in contact, so I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the messages then becomes more, as I said, we were concerned about the Hatton character. Yes, there is a Hatton. And when we confronted the Hatton from another source, the answer was there are lessons of discernment. And then I was like you. But all these people that put money and everything else in, there's lessons of discernment for everybody. So not only did we get it, I got it in spades, right?
Sure.
Then, of course, my wife separated. We're all up. I'm in Vegas. I'm going back playing Monopoly, you know, building buildings and stuff in Vegas. Then the ETs reminded me of my agreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm back. But I'm a one-man show at that point.
Uh-huh. Right.
I know what the court system is. They're not going to bother me because I've been up there so many times, both sides. I had three attorneys that I had as partners. I made them millionaires just to keep me out of problems, you know.
Anyone watching this would want us to ask you the question about the Christ consciousness that you've been in communication with. There have been persistent, let's call them reports, that this consciousness in physical form 2,000 years ago was actually an extraterrestrial manifestation of some kind. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, the Pleiadians impregnated Mary, so he's a combination of, you know, a Pleiadian and that, and his message was to do exactly what he did. I mean, he was a right-winger at that time, right? I mean, he was throwing the banks out, everything else, trying to wake people up. So his messages have been so distorted over that period. But his job was, again, if there's no sequence of time, was to try to bring back the spiritual teachings of man. And that's what Billy was trying to do with some of his books that he has, his spiritual teachings, you know, he said, this is the way it is. Well, we got the same thing, only from, he calls himself Sananda right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sananda's level saying that this is part of the progress, along with his other, quote, ascended masters, Gabriel, and you hear him, Lord Michael, and all that. Well, they're in contact with all that group. Well, there's a group above them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got blown
over. Are you familiar with the raw material?
Sure.
How do you feel about that?
Well, the raw material has a lot of good information into it. That's like that girl that's putting the stuff out from Russia. Did you go over there and talk to her?
Oh, no, yeah, we've heard about Anastasia.
Yeah, Anastasia. But if you read the first couple of books, there really makes some sense. When you get into about the fourth or fifth book, all of a sudden, wait a minute. It's back to another story.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I defy you to go through all of these books and not, you'll see the same information all the way down and look at it. And at that time, like I say, there was purpose that we would not put any names on the material. Frankly, it comes from the creational level itself. Not only this universe, but others that are focused in there. I mean, I was in awe when I found out what this is coming down. Because it's an unbelievable experience to have happen. At the creational level itself, from this universe and others, are focusing just these little few words.
Right.
to try to wait. And it's like an artist. You start from the very first word, and it ends up perfect all the way through this whole thing.
Mm.
I mean, I've lived the process, so it's just unbelievable to me. Especially since I've my crazy life.